Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wagon Wheel Podcast presented to you by Bills Wire at USA Today, SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, your host, and alongside with me every single week, Old Faithful. I can depend on him. I trust him more than a lot of people in my life. My man, David. David, how are you, bud?
Matt, I feel great. We won 8 games.
Yes. Yes, I mean, it's a very good feeling, right? This is 2 straight years. How long has it been since Buffalo Bills fans, people involved in Buffalo Bills media have been like, yo, all right, we haven't had 2 losing seasons in a row. This is the first time in a very, very long time. And I'm sure there's a lot of very happy Bills fans out there right now.
Yeah, I hope everybody celebrated with a basket of wings. It wasn't pretty, but it does feel good. Our preseason predictions, I think I had the final record at 12-4, and it was a little ambitious maybe, but I think they could do it. I mean, there's already been a handful of games where, you know, close calls, but they looked like they should have won or run away with. So they've just kind of been struggling at certain points. And we talked a bit about that during the bye week, you know, and it was really neat to see them do so many of the things that we talked about. So many of the things that we touched on, that was really cool. The Bills won by 10 points today, so that's always a little bit better than, you know, maybe those real close ones where that heartbreaker we lost against Arizona, who then in turn lost to New England today. This game is one I've been looking forward to. This is the first time the Bills and Chargers have played each other since Josh Allen's first career start at home a couple seasons ago.
Yep.
And I was at that game with a couple close friends of mine, and
so was I.
We were sitting in the end zone when he threw his first career touchdown to Kelvin Benjamin right in front of us, and that might have been the best thing Kelvin Benjamin ever did for the Bills. At least it's my favorite or best memory of him in Buffalo. But these are two very similar teams with big quarterbacks, and it was good to kind of see them square up today.
It was, especially at the pro level. I did not know this, but they showed a clip of these two playing against each other a few years ago. It might have been Josh Allen's final. It might have been his final season at Wyoming, but him and Herbert had squared off, and Herbert's team won in that encounter. So a little bit of satisfying victory here for Josh Allen today and company. It did not come easy, most certainly, but It was very peculiar. There is quite a bit to talk about, I'll be perfectly honest with you. But I think overall, an upwards trend, you know, the building blocks. We got to keep building up. And this final stretch is very, very favorable. We keep mentioning it. So, I mean, as a Bills spectator, as a Bills analyst, if that's what you can call me, a volunteer analyst, we'll call it. There was definitely things that we could speak highly of. There's definitely some things that we can not speak highly of, but a lot to take away from this game. You know, you and I had this conversation last week about what our expectations were for certain position groups coming out of the gate this year and coming out of the gate after this bye week. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to pat us on the back, but I think they listened, right? I would say they addressed a lot of our concerns. So maybe Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean are listening to this podcast. And, you know, if you didn't hear last week's episode, go listen back and rewatch the game, or rewatch the game, then go listen back. I don't know. Me and David know what we're talking about every once in a while.
We hit on so many good, like that. That was actually just kind of low key. One of my favorite things about this game is I wasn't even expecting it. And then I'm just sitting there going, wait a minute. We talked about that during the bye week podcast. We talked about that during the, and there was even a few things that weren't like, you know, covered in general coverage or even in things that, other people were talking about around the media and the league and stuff like that, about adjustments they could make. That I thought it was really cool that we touched on, then we saw them actually do it this week. So I'll tell you what, man, if they're not listening to the podcast, maybe they should, because we're clearly thinking on the same wavelengths. This was going to be an interesting game, because the Bills have won a number of similar types of games this year that the Chargers have lost. Like the Chargers have shown that they can just score, you know, kind of stay in games, keep games close. They just can't win and close them out. We got Anthony Lynn, the former Bills coach, returns to Orchard Park and faces Sean McDermott's team. You know, was another kind of low-key sub-story coming into this game. And Buffalo was expected to score points on the Chargers defense. I mean, they were allowing 27.3 points per game and 29.3 points per game over their last three games. So you and I have talked a bit recently in our own conversations about the Falcons. And I think whenever we've talked about the Falcons, it's usually been along the lines of, hey, their offense is usually decent enough,
yeah,
you know, to get it done. That it's their defense that loses games for them. And the same could be said here about the Chargers. And, you know, even with the defensive struggles that the Bills have had at times, not to put it on one side of the ball or the other, but the defensive struggles the first portion of the season certainly made things interesting, to say the least. So that was in play. The Chargers were averaging 26 points per game on offense. So Buffalo was going to need a good day on defense to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, looking at the final score and whatnot, it was they definitely did. They came through clutch in several plays. I know there's a little bit of a flip flopping going on with possessions towards the end of the game, which made things very, very interesting. But you know, I got to start off, you know, really, I mean, getting to the meat and potatoes of this episode, I got to give my regards to like this Chargers squad. All right, I have always had a soft spot for the Chargers. I've always have. I think they have the best jerseys in the NFL, the powder blues, at least. I didn't hate the ones that they had today, but the powder blues, you can't beat that. And I think Justin Herbert's going to be one of the better, you know, better quarterbacks in the National Football League. You know, for probably 5 to 10, I would dare say 10 to 15 years. As long as they can stay healthy. I know it's a rookie season. I know it's a small sample size, but his NFL game readiness has been truly, truly fun to see, fun to watch. He's took the world by storm. He's probably going to be the offensive rookie of the year. At least that's what I, to my, you know, understanding. You know, they have Keenan Allen, who's having a humongous year, a little bit of resurgence. Hunter Henry's probably having his best season. You know, Joey Bosa's playing well. It's just a very good, feisty Chargers squad who I admire, you know, I admire greatly. They're, you know, a touchdown away from being the record being flip-flopped. I think we said it last week. They're going to be very good for whoever the next head coach is. Sorry, Anthony Lynn is his seat's on fire right now, and I don't think he's going to be returning in 2021. But I wanted to give some props. I mean, we root for the Bills here. We talk about the Bills here, but I think it's important to acknowledge the good things, you know, that are going on with opposing teams and. I mean, maybe it makes the victory that much sweeter, but I don't know. I just, there was a good crop of rookie quarterbacks this year. I know the jury's still out on Tua, but like Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, like I'm very, very excited for the futures and seeing what these teams can build around them. You know, it's this Chargers organization, we've seen 16 years, they had Phillip Rivers and there was a lot of struggles. There's a lot of ups and downs and he took over from Drew Brees and, I know there's this whole just mess of stuff out. They can never reach they can never make it to the big one. You know, is this? I feel like they have the quarterback who could lead this team for 15 years. It's a matter of whether the Chargers can build up something quality around them. So, but I did want to acknowledge that. Like Justin Herbert is one of my favorite young quarterbacks right now, and I mean I might find myself buying a pot of blue Herbert jersey at some point. Maybe, maybe. Maybe from China, though, you know, not that full price stuff
for their money today, huh?
Yeah,
The throwback jerseys with the Buffalo throwback jerseys.
I liked that with the plain red
in that case, but
yeah,
looking sharp today.
They did. I like the red Buffalo, the AFL, just the Buffalo decal on the side helmet. Yeah. It looked really nice.
Yeah, I love that they went back to the white helmets too. I just always thought that popped better with the, you know, the uniforms and whatnot. And even just coming out, I know there'd been some buzz that there was going to be some throwbacks coming down the in the schedule soon. But, you know, coming out of the bye week, I was thinking about some of the stuff we talked about last week and, you know, what to look for based on some of those conversations. And, you know, hopefully that was going to be a chance for players to heal up. The O-line was poised to have most of their guys back on the field together for the first time all season. When unfortunately we lost Cody Ford for the year, D due to an injury in practice this week, a tough blow. And then also John Brown went on injured reserve as well. And you and I have had multiple conversations this season about the difference that Brown makes on the field, because he was out for a few games. We've seen this once before. So he's expected to miss a few games, like earlier in the season. But like earlier in the season, we saw, you know, the impact when you don't have those two number ones on the field in Diggs and Brown.
Yeah.
And commanding coverage, how defenses respond, and also, you know, how it affects the passing game. And so his impact on the field is huge, even just in terms of commanding coverage. It made such a big difference that the Bills offense struggled a bit when he was out. So, you know, hopefully, you know, looking not just ahead to this game, but over the next two games while he heals up, hopefully the Bills were going to be able to get some of their other offensive weapons like Gabriel Davis and also tight ends like Lee Smith and Dawson Knox involved, because Tyler Kroft was out also this game. And then, of course, the run game, right? That was the one of the hot button topics, I think, even before the bye, that the last two or three episodes prior to the week off that we were talking about a bit. So that's all stuff that was sort of on my mind going into this game. And definitely, you know, like I said, I mean, you got all these other little things in play kind of going on. It's just really started getting the wheels turning. So I was kind of curious to see how it would go. And then of course the third quarter thing. I mean, we talked about that. It was a focal feature for us last week, and I was interested to see if and what and how they would approach that this week.
Yeah, no, they definitely addressed all the concerns. Looking at the stats, I think they held the Chargers to, I think it was under 100 rushing yards. I think they held them to under 100 rushing yards, which is really good for this Bills rushing defense. All right, you know, that is a significant game where this team lets up a lot, and I'm not sure the exact average, but I've seen anywhere from 100 to 200 plus yards of rushing offense allowed by this Bills defense. So for them to do that against a team that has some really good running backs, right? We had a returning Austin Eckler today, who was very hungry and very, very much used in this offense. Joshua Kelly, who's been kind of holding it down for a little while, he played pretty good. And for the Bills defense to shut them down in the running aspect, it speaks volumes to, you know, their progress over this last bye week. You know, the offensive line one, there's not much you can do at this point. Unfortunately, it's an aspect that the Bills are going to have to deal with. The Cody Ford situation is truly unfortunate. You know, the most important thing you can get from your offensive line that you want, you know, not every chain on the link has to be like, or link on the chain. Yeah. Every link on the chain has to be absolutely perfect, but the chemistry is so, so important to how an offensive line operates. When you have to keep popping in new and different guys, communication issues become a thing. You have to revisit how the offensive line, you know, communicates, and oftentimes does a little bit more harm than good. We've seen a couple turnovers today that came at the hands of poor offensive line play. We saw some sacks, right? Joey Bosa had a pretty significant day. I want to give him compliments.
Yeah.
He utilized, you know, he took advantage of the issues on the Bills offensive line today, and him and others, they made use of it. So that's something that needs to be addressed. It is something that cannot be addressed this season. It can only be coached up at this point, but if we're talking draft time, that's definitely going to end up being one of the higher concerns. So we did see some design Josh Allen run plays, which is something I think we're going to have to see going forward. We're not, you know, you're not going to get that timing, like the protection, the proper protection from this offensive line. So you're going to have to get creative and tricky and let Josh Allen kind of do his thing and take off. He did pretty good in the ball security department. He really did, which was a good sign for him. Devin Singletary got going a little bit. He had a little issue, but this was honestly his best game of the season. I would probably say it was nice to see Devin Singletary get used a little bit more. Zach Moss did good. I think we're starting to see the signs. I don't know if we hit the ceiling yet when it comes to those two together, but there was definitely some nice stuff in that regard. So I'm very happy in what we addressed and in what we said, and that for the most part, it came to fruition. There were some disappointing things in my end. I did think it, probably more so the second half, that for a team that's coming off of a bye week, they did look a little sloppy. Some of the plays, it just looked unorganized. I know they were rocked with some stuff later on this past week. You know, the Cody Ford incident, which I think came out Thursday. No, probably it wasn't even Thursday. It was probably Friday. It was probably a little bit sooner than that. And that's an adjustment you have to make in a very short amount of time. I felt like this team should have looked a little bit more dominant from start to finish against this Chargers squad. I know they're a good Chargers are a good team and all, but I thought they could have looked a little bit more dominant. There was no point aside from the final 2 minutes where I was firmly like, okay, the Bills got this thing, which makes for an entertaining game if you're a neutral party. But, you know, if you're a Bills fan, probably might have had you sweating a little bit, unless you were just as confident as several others. So, but yeah, I did enjoy the game from top to bottom.
Man, yeah, I mean, may as well dive into that first quarter, huh? I mean, just even right off the bat, the Bills got off to a good start. You know, the defensive stop on the Chargers opening drive made them kick the ball away. So the Bills pretty much got, you know, first crack at scoring, you know, thanks to the defense. You know, on the initial scoring drive, when the Bills got the ball back, they scored on four plays, which was great in a minute 59 seconds, thanks to a 47-yard pass interference penalty on a pass Allen threw to Diggs. And listen, I'll take any help we can get, anytime is welcome. Then they, you know, the Bills drive down the field, and Matt, you've heard me asking for it. We've talked about it. You've heard me mention it probably multiple times. We just talked about it during the bye week. My two favorite Buffalo Bills connect. Allen throws an absolute bullet to Dawson Knox in the back of the end zone.
It's about damn and time.
We talked over the bye week about Knox's hands, all the drops that he's had this season, how if he caught those balls, you know, the conversation around going into the bye week would have been a lot different.
Yeah.
And he looked good. He muscled that one in. I mean, like, you watch that play, he really, you know, you could see him using his strength to get a hold of that thing and reel it in for the touchdown. Good footwork to make sure he got his feet in. So I'm taking it as a sign, man, that that Dawson Knox has arrived for 2020, and hopefully we'll see more of him, because with Brown out, we're going to need some big play from our other guys. And you know, LA would score later in the quarter when they got the ball back, and the Bills would get a little help from their kicker, from the Chargers kicker Michael Badgley, who may have brought back some Nate Kading memories for Charger fans by missing a field goal, allowing the Bills to keep a 1-point lead. I got to tell you, I don't know that I ever thought Nate Kading's name would come up again, but here we are. So those are some thoughts on the first quarter. What did you see, you know, when you're looking that over, that really jumped out to you?
You know, the Dawson Knox thing was very important. I wish there was more, because it was his only catch of the day. But they were still utilizing him in some form or fashion. But I think they set the pace really well at this point. Both teams did. You know, the Bills had excellent field position with that pass interference call. And the Chargers did most of the work for Buffalo, and Buffalo wisely taking advantage. I've seen that happen to many teams where they get great field position, and then they just collapse in the red zone and only have to settle for a field goal. So yeah, I was excited about some of the usage here, you know, with Josh Allen kind of taking off a little bit, with him hitting up Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, you're getting to see looks with both guys, and that's what we want. I don't want one to be better than the other. I want them both to be really good. And I said some stuff last week about, you know, how I thought Zach Moss had the most From what I've seen so far in this first, you know, bunch of the year, that Zach Moss had the most potential. It's probably the most consistent one. And I mean, you had a very differing opinion, and I understand your take on it. Obviously, it kind of came to fruition this week, but I want to see both these guys do well. I want to see both these guys get used in some form or fashion and just play to their strengths. And I thought the Bills did that very nicely in that regard in this first quarter. So I'm very, very proud of that. Now, the deep for Herbert's a stud that defensively on that, you know, on what will be the Chargers' second drive, but the scoring drive, you know, 79 yards on 13 plays. It's 6 minutes on the field. That's a lot of clock. That's a lot of stop and go. And I mean, this is just the feeling out phase two. You got to keep in mind the first quarter is usually they're getting an idea. Justin Herbert is still a rookie, right? He has rookie tendencies. He's not refined. He is raw. He's not. We know the potential that Justin Herbert has, but we don't know exactly what he's going to become, whether it's good or bad. So this is a feeling out process. You know, he's not like one of these quarterbacks where you have tons and tons of years of tape on him, like your Brady's or in the Chargers instance, like a Phillip Rivers. You don't have that on him. So this is the feeling out process. And I thought they handled themselves pretty well. It's a long drive, but Chargers attacked them in a very balanced way. Some big passes, some nice runs, and you know, it ended in a score, but it is what it is. Miss extra point is, that's tough. that's tough. And I know the Chargers have had a long history of bad kicking play, but I thought it was a pretty good first quarter for Buffalo. Not too much work on their end, honestly. Not too much work on them. There's a few punts and all that, but as far as the big stuff, the big important stuff, you know, they did what they had to do. They took advantage of field position, that's all you can ever ask for. That's all you can ever ask for when it comes to penalties, when it comes to turnovers, is making the most of those opportunities, because never know when you're going to get them again.
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely things, you know, plays and points that matter. You want to get them. You want to have the guys in place to get them, make the plays that you need to when you need them to. And so with all that under consideration, you know, they did have some guys step up today, get that done. I mean, AJ Klein had a big day, you know, going into the second quarter on Chargers third down. They had a good stop, you know, accentuated by a good play on AJ Klein to force Los Angeles to punt with 14:18 left before the half.
Right.
And that set up an ensuing Bills drive. Matt, you remember in last week's podcast, I mentioned I'd love to see more catch and run passes to open up the field for our running backs and kind of keep defenses on their toes a bit more. Some like the dynamic plays we see from guys like Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Well, on this heads up play, you know, that they ran on the Bills ensuing drive there, Allen threw a heads up play on a short sweet pass to Devin Singletary. He turned it into a 14-yard screen gain for a first down. So that was something that caught my eye early in the game. I was very happy to see the run game seem to be getting going well without some of the obstacles they faced earlier in the season. There was a roughing the passer call too on the Chargers on an Allen pass to Knox. And again, every little bit helps. And Singletary has another big run for a first down and gain in, brings them into Chargers territory. So it was really great to see the last few games, the run game doing a bit better. You know, we saw them against a team like the Jets. We weren't sure, you know, it's the Jets. So we don't know what we're seeing exactly. We're seeing our run game doing really well, or if we're just seeing the Jets. So, you know, it was good to see them looking better today. And when in this case, when they were down Chargers territory, you know, again, Matt, we had another topic manifest here that we talked about during last week's podcast. You might remember that I mentioned how many guys on the Bills are former quarterbacks, and it opens up some potential positionless football play calling possibilities that defenses might not be prepared for. Well, guess what? Cole Beasley I guess you could call him the Bills Old Faithful, right?
Yeah.
The guy's been so consistent and such a big difference maker for them. Cole Beasley, who played quarterback in high school for his father's team, his father coached the team, threw his first NFL completion and first career touchdown pass for 20 yards to Gabriel Davis to put the Bills up 14-6. After the game, Gabe Davis was quoted as describing Beasley's pass as a dart and said that, "I knew it was going to work," regarding Beasley's touchdown pass to him. So they seem pretty confident about that. A couple fun facts about the Beasley play. With Isaiah McKenzie and Beasley both throwing touchdowns this year, the Bills now have had two non-QBs throw a touchdown pass this season, for the second time in franchise history. The other time was 2009, Fred Jackson and Brian Mornin. Also, and including the playoffs, the Bills' four touchdown passes by non-QBs since 2018, which was offensive coordinator Brian Daboll's first season in Buffalo, is tied with the Dolphins for the most in the NFL, according to ESPN Stats and Info. And so just a couple little interesting tidbits that as the Beasley play like went down, you know, kind of came out of that I found really, really interesting.
I like that. And, you know, we preach about Cole Beasley all the time on here, and to have, I didn't know he played quarterback in high school, but there are a lot of, you know, folks have done that. I'm happy to see that. That's the kind of mix up and creative offense that you have to have in today's NFL, right? You have to have guys who are capable of doing different things. You know, it's having a consistent, strong quarterback as somebody like Josh Allen is and can be is all right. It's not bad, but you know, it's trick plays, little confusion. That's the next evolution of the NFL. And it looks like Dable's finally tapping into it. I'm still not ready to call him an offensive genius just yet, but I am more than happy to give him the compliment on setting this up. And I mean, this is really cool. And you know what? I've been wanting to see a little bit more Gabriel Davis. You know, John Brown's out. Gabriel Davis, you know, there's outside of, you know, our core three, right? In Diggs and Beasley and John Brown. There's three very other capable people, but in my opinion, Gabriel Davis is head and shoulders above. He's a rookie and he's performing very well. And I'm happy he got to catch that one. You know, this past summer we got to talk to his combine trainer and very good friend Bert Wiggum, who texted me this past week. He sent me a bunch of pictures, you know, of some of the good deeds that Gabe was doing over the, you know, Thanksgiving break and stuff like that. He's an incredibly good human being, like really, really good human being. And I like to see good human beings find that success in the National Football League. So this was a really good usage of Gabe. He got heavy usage, I think, in the first month or so of the season. It kind of waned a little bit. You weren't hearing his name get called as much, which I was a little disappointed in, but I was particularly happy to see, you know, him on the receiving end of this. It's hard. You hear it from wide receivers all the time, especially ones who their quarterback situation has changed often. You know, different throwing power, right? Different throwing mechanics and being on the receiving end of some of that stuff. And to be able to catch a pass like that, and it was a beautiful pass on the part of Beasley, but a dart nonetheless, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less kick than Josh Allen might have. So big testament, happy for Davis, good dude. And I think he's going to be the future of this team. It just makes me fall in love with the wide receiver core even a little bit more.
Yeah, he's a big kid, tall, long arms too. I think he's going to be a big impact for them for years to come. It was good to see him haul that in because he's had some big catches this year. One that got was a great touchdown catch that got called back because of a penalty back at the line of scrimmage, I believe it was, earlier in the season. So, yeah, I mean, with Brown out, it's an opportunity to get him some more reps and get him a little bit more experience. But I do anticipate him being a big impact on that offense for years to come. And You know, the Bills defense looked good today too. Right after that drive, they got a good stop and got the ball back. And we got another shot to add to the lead before halftime, which is a topic you and I have also talked about in recent weeks. The difference between going into halftime with the lead, coming out of halftime and defending and adding to that lead and padding it a bit to get and kind of build more distance to put the game out of reach. And I thought that they did a good job getting that stop, getting us the ball back, you know, on that next Bills offensive drive. Beasley again makes an impact. He gets a big first down to keep them moving downfield. Allen took off with the ball for a big first down run. He's third in the league, by the way, this year in rushing touchdowns by a quarterback with five. And that might be something, you know, if, for those of you that watch the game, will come into play later on here. But he tries to go again and gets brought down at a funny angle on his ankle. Bills Mafia collectively holds our breath. Thankfully, it looked like it wasn't too serious, but you always kind of, you know, Josh is a pretty tough kid. So you always kind of wonder when you see something like that happen with your starting quarterback. He went to the sidelines and Barkley came in for a play. And thankfully, you know, we saw him come back out. And Joey Bosa has been after him all day at this point. I mean, they're not even in the second half yet. Bosa just made his presence felt throughout the day. There are some risks in those situations in general, much less ones where he takes off for the ball. But it was good to see him that become a little bit more of the game plan throughout the game instead of just a couple times at different points. There was a third and 18 with 3:03 left to play that we got called for a false start on that put us way out of range even further at third and 23. And we talked about how penalties have been costly to this team. And sure enough, the Chargers get a stop there, but we're still able to put a few points on the board going into the half, thanks to a Tyler Bass field goal. I'll take those 3 points. Obviously those are a difference maker later in the game, but you know, penalties, man. I mean, it's been such a big monkey on the Bills back, even where they're showing improvements, you know, these penalties and turnovers kind of seem to keep rearing their heads a bit. So I'm hoping going into these remaining 5 games of the season, you know, that's one area that I'd like to see tighten up a little bit, you know, be a little bit more disciplined. So those are the things that really stood out to me about the second quarter and about the first half.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the penalty thing is such a, I watched the Colts play the Green Bay Packers last week, and I watched a bunch of holding calls and how costly it was and how it made the game go longer than it had to. But I know, I'm sure the listeners are sick of me comparing, you know, stuff for the Colts. I get it. This isn't a Colts podcast. This is a Bills podcast, but I see the effects. You know, momentum is a very, very real thing in the National Football League, and penalties I've seen it happen time and time again with former Bills teams. Momentum can be stopped on a penalty with something this so trivial and unnecessary. And while I'm not afraid of this team becoming another Rex Ryan penalty ridden team, I don't fear that at all. It can always be better. It can always be better. There's always going to be penalties. There's always going to be, you know, a few, but things can be handled better. But I thought it was a really good second quarter for them. They didn't give up any points. They played good defense. They forced them to punt. The longest drive that they allowed in the second quarter was 33 yards and it ended with no points. So that's good, especially you see where Herbert was targeting. He's doing these little short middle passes to Austin Eckler. And we all know how good of a pass catching running back that Austin Eckler is. Catches two. He catches quite a few. Guyton, one of their other wide receivers, he gets a sweet 10-yard pass, and Keenan Allen's getting some looks and stuff. So, you know, especially all things considered with the people that Herbert was targeting, some of his most dependable talent, and they still couldn't move the chains enough to get more than 33 yards. It speaks volumes to the fact that this defense is improving the way that it has. And, you know, Sean McDermott said it after. I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but McDermott said after the game that how he loved the defensive performance today. Right, he was very fond of it. He didn't say that verbatim, but he alluded to it. And this was good. The Chargers offense is a very, very good offense. Very good offense. And the Bills did very well today. In the second quarter was might have been one of their better quarters containing it. Actually, they had a pretty good third quarter, too, which we'll get into in a second. But this is a very good, you know, quarter by quarter, this is a very good quarter for them to kind of show off. And, you know, Herbert tends to get hot, you know, after a quarter. The first quarter, he gets warmed up, gets more comfortable, and he starts heating up a little bit in the second and third. So Bills did a very good job in that regard, slowing him down.
Yeah, I really liked the defense today. There's not a lot of complaints there, honestly. I mean, I especially as we're going to get into, you know, the third and fourth quarter and talk a bit in a moment about the impact that they made there. I think that there's interesting things that come out during games. I mean, I remember watching the game today and, you know, like, for example, middle of the game, we find out that the Lions have parted ways with Matt Patricia. Now, may not have any effect on Buffalo whatsoever, but it would be interesting to bring him in case he can offer us any Patriots insights, by the way. By the way, great job for Matt Patricia, potentially. Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator, just going to throw that out there. But in the meantime, no, but I was looking over, what I mean to say is that I was looking over some of the interesting tidbits and things that come up, you know, while you're watching the game and halftime. So as I was kind of looking it back over, I was thinking about, you know, the Beasley pass. There's been some pretty low scoring games on one side in a lot of games this year, you know, where you look at the final score and a team hasn't scored a lot, to put it in most simplest terms. I found out today, I'm sure many NFL fans probably caught wind of the whole situation with the Broncos and Saints game. Saints quarterback Drew Brees is out with an injury. The Broncos have people out with COVID safety precautions. And so they had no quarterbacks going into the game on the Broncos side. And on the Saints side, they had Taysom Hill, starting, from what I understand. Okay, passing yards today. Total passing yards by the end of that Broncos-Saints game combined between the Broncos and Saints was 25 passing yards. Cole Beasley, Buffalo Bills, former high school quarterback Cole Beasley had 20 yards. So combined, the Broncos and Saints managed 5 more passing yards today than Cole Beasley did. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's unbelievably bad, but really cool in that regard. So Beasley was a top rated quarterback on the week, I guess. So I mean, the fun part of all this too is, I mean, while they did have a good second quarter, what was one thing, what was another thing that we talked about? Those third quarter woes, man, right? Third quarter woes have been such a issue, such a hindrance in the Buffalo Bills. That's the worst quarter of the 2020 season. Nobody's given up more points in the third quarter than Buffalo. And it's been pretty impressive. So for them to come out of the bye week, and I'll let you run through the drive chart and all that stuff, but then to come out in the bye week and do this to the Chargers, hold them to very few yards, no points in the third quarter. It's a very good sign. It's a very good sign trending upwards. It's bad when you come out of the locker room and can't perform, right? And you falter. And this is a good trend in the right direction. Those building blocks that we keep talking about every week, something to build off of.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, I think that they looked good coming out in the third quarter. Obviously, things got a little wonky here later in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and we'll talk about that. But I will say this, you know, just in consideration of some of the things that we talked about in the podcast over the bye week, specifically as it related to the third quarter, coming out of halftime, what do we need to do? Score. When do we need to do it? Now. that was kind of our topic the last couple of weeks about coming out of halftime is, hey, you know, typically, not all the time, but typically the Bills rack up most of their points in the first half and then come out and struggle to put any points on the board in the third quarter. The defense tends to struggle a bit. And so both sides of the ball, we were talking about how they could be better in that third quarter, how they both need to kind of put their foot on the gas a bit, specifically in the third quarter. And the offense obliged on that big drive, big first down run by Allen right out the gate. We talked about doing that more in the third quarter to throw it off, you know, like throw off the game plan, throw off the halftime adjustments that the opposing defense has made coming out of the half, is having Allen take off with the ball more and do things that keep them on their toes and kind of throw off those adjustments and preparations that they've made to come back out into the third quarter. He had a nice completion to Diggs to get back into the Chargers end of the field. And then he makes another big run on second and 11 to get down into the red zone. And that play was also sandwiched between a couple Charger penalties on the play before and after. So that helped as well. And then on second and goal, when they're in the red zone, Allen took off again with one of his signature runs, right? To the side.
Oh yeah.
Dives and gets the full extension with the ball to go over the pylon for the touchdown. That is his sixth rushing touchdown of the season and fifth career game with both a passing and rushing touch, or I'm sorry, 15th career game with both a passing and rushing touchdown, which is second all time in NFL quarterback's first three seasons. He has 15 now, and he's behind only former Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, Carolina quarterback Cam Newton, who is now in New England, who had 20. So we are now up 24-6 Bills. He did get a very – okay, I'm just going to put this out there. I'm not going to dedicate too much time to this during the podcast because, I mean, we won the game, and a win's a win, and I'll take the W. But a bogus unsportsmanlike penalty call. Josh Allen's a gamer, okay? He's not – you know, some, you know, angry diva like Tom Brady who just loses his crap when, you know, he doesn't get his way. Like, he's just a gamer. He's just a competitive, passionate guy. So, you know, he spins the ball and he kind of, you know, does it in the direction of the defender just a little bit. I didn't think it was really looked that bad. I didn't think it was a real penalty, but they called it whatever. They kind of did the same thing, I think, to Zach Moss on a run in the game too, where he kind of did the thing where he like threw the ball down behind him a little bit. It just happened to be in the direction of one of the defenders. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. The refs were the refs today. Bless their hearts. We're praying for them. So, but nonetheless, 24-6 Bills sounds pretty good to me. So the Chargers are now in their biggest point deficit of the season at 18. This is the biggest point deficit the Chargers have had all year. But they are a scoring team. So they would score on the ensuing drive to get back in this game and make it 14-24. On their next offensive drive as well, the Chargers offense on both drives showed that way that they have under Herbert, where they've had no trouble scoring, just winning. That's the thing we talked about earlier. And so on both of those offensive drives, they showed that they can put points on the board. So they're scoring, they're getting, making it closer. I mean, we're now dealing with a game and a situation that the Bills have been in a number of times this year where a team's getting back in it, right? That's something that we talked about during the bye week, is when teams start to get back in the game, they're putting points back on the board, they're narrowing the score a bit. I think at this point, I'm just kind of taking a quick look here. I think at this point, yeah. Okay. So this is where on that second offensive drive, the Chargers are coming downfield. The Bills defense needs to get a stop here, right? That'd be huge. And to their credit, you know, they do a good job. The Chargers let the time run out in the third quarter. They decide to go for it on a fourth and one because they're down, you know, far enough on the field where it's not a big deal. Just go for it. And instead of Herbert taking it himself and trying to run towards the sideline, they hand it off and try to go up the gut. The Bills defense stuff the run and get the ball back. That was huge. That was actually one of the things that, because of what we talked about the defense showing up and playing well in the third quarter, in the second half. I mean, I understand this is now pouring, overflowing into just the first little you know, few minute or so of the fourth quarter, but that effort was needed. It was welcomed. It was good to see. I was glad to see it. And that made me feel pretty good about how the defense was looking today.
Yes, very good. So I do want to correct myself. I apologize that I said that the Chargers didn't score, but it was good for the Bills to score twice in the third quarter. I should acknowledge that. Or excuse me, once. Man, I am sleepy. they scored once right out of the gate, which is a good sign. Defensively, I mean, that's fourth and one. As scary as it can be sometimes, it's almost like a shoe-in if it's executed correctly. Chargers, like I said, they have good running backs. They have really quality running backs. And, you know, or a simple run up the gut, it's if the offensive line gets enough push, that's good. But, I mean, the defense showing up, you know, it was predictable in a sense. The Bills being able to stop that is a big testament. If they extend that drive, we could be looking at a very different score right now. Not that it was the, you know, especially where they were at, you know, they're on the Buffalo 25. So they are in, you know, they're in at least field goal range. You know, if they get another couple downs to go and they can't make it, but I mean, they could have hit a touchdown here, but the, you know, Buffalo, you know, obviously things kind of, it didn't really matter a few plays later, but this was a big testament to the Bills defense. I'm very happy to see them come up in big plays like that, because that is momentum. That is, if the Bills give that up, that's, oh, you know, they're psychologically exhausted. They're mentally exhausted. That's another four downs that they have to endure in a very tough spot, which is the red zone. And, you know, the Bills defense has given up quite a few points in the red zone this year. So, huge play on the part of the Bills defense.
And they would get put to the test again pretty quickly too. When the Bills got the ball back, Singletary took off for another big first down run. But as he, you know, was coming off his first defender, a second one sort of reached from behind him and poked the ball out. And the Chargers got the ball back. He fumbled, and the Chargers got the ball back in favorable territory. And the Bills defense was once again kind of put on the spot to sort of save the day in that moment, in that specific part of the game. And it looked like the Bills had them back in the same position on the ensuing drive on third down when they got a roughing the passer call on Ed Oliver. And I love Ed Oliver. What a hit, by the way.
Yeah.
Great hit by Ed Oliver. So it's tough to see him get a roughing the passer call on that. But I will say this, just to be fair, is that if it was our quarterback, we'd probably want one. So, you know, as much as I love Ed Oliver and I love that hit, I can see why they called it, even though I would rather they didn't. I don't even necessarily think it was a roughing the passer call. I thought it was a legit hit on a guy making a play. But here we are. So anyhow, that penalty was costly. It was not the only one. You know, we had some penalties start to show up around this time. We've talked about how penalties and turnovers can be costly at pivotal times for Buffalo. And at this point, they have allowed, I mean, you know, up until this point in the game, you know, this season, in their eighth game, 9-10, well, you know, what is this, the 11th game of the year now, I think, right? 11th game.
Yes, they're 8-3. So, 8-3, yeah.
At this point, they've allowed the most points in the second half this season of any NFL team, 167 total points. And they could use another stop here to minimize any further damage to their lead. And to that end, they do. AJ Klein shows up on a big third down stop with 10:16 left in the game. And the Bills hold LA to only a field goal to make the score 24-21 Bills. So at this point, or I'm sorry, I got that wrong. 24-17 Bills. But point being is that AJ Klein had a great day. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that he was our player of the game with Bills Wire. And man, did he show his true colors on that play. And they were red, white, and blue, my friend. They were Buffalo red, white, and blue. That guy came through big again in another game for us.
Yeah.
And so we just, at this point, need to get that lead back up. And, you know, this was the, this, this was kind of the second part of that wonky sequence that we've been alluding to throughout the podcast, Matt. We talked about how there was that stretch in the fourth quarter where it was almost like watching a blooper reel, except it was just missing the funny music that makes you feel better about what you're watching.
And the sound effects, and the goofy sound effects. Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, we had a fumble, and then we get the ball back. Then we have another fumble. And to be fair, this time it was not Josh Allen's fault or anybody's. I mean, neither one was really their fault, right? Singletary, you know, if you watch the replay, he couldn't even see this guy. This guy was behind him out of his peripherals and kind of reached and stretched for it and poked the ball out. This time around, though, it was a fumble, but it was a fumbled snap. It was a bad snap. And ball got dropped kind of into the pile there at the line of scrimmage. And so we immediately lose the ball back. Two turnovers and three offensive plays. And look, this is what you hear McDermott and Allen talk about, like in all these post-game pressers about, hey, we got to not beat ourselves when it comes to the penalties and the turnovers. So thankfully, the Bills defense returns the favor and swats the ball out of Herbert's hands. When the Chargers get the ball back on their first set of downs, and they force a punt, and the Bills get the ball back, no worse for wear, but a close call nonetheless. So, you know, Chargers apply pressure when the Bills have the ball back. Allen throws a loft pass that gets picked off. This is why it was a wonky sequence.
This isn't even the end of it. Fumbles. This is not even the end of it. There's still one more part. Right? There's like, still one more part to this.
Right. Yeah, like we're not even done. This is incredible. So a couple fumbles. Both times we get the ball back. You know, both times we're able to kind of get the ball back without being being too worse for wear here. And aside from, you know, them putting a few points on the board to make it 17-24. And anyways, we swat the ball out of Herbert's hand on a third down, force a punt. We get the ball back. And, you know, the Chargers apply pressure. Allen throws this loft pass, gets picked off. And it is a refreshing reminder at this point why we need to play better, just tighter, more disciplined football in the second half.
Yeah.
And not get too panicky, you know, or get like too fired up. I mean, even when Allen tries to do too much on occasion, which doesn't happen often, but it does happen, you know, just making sure to kind of keep steady and you know, do what we got to do to play through it, win the game. You know, the Chargers are first in the league this season in the most consecutive games decided by 10 points or fewer, with 12 games at this point. And the Bills are fourth in the league with 5. So one of those stats is going to change today. Because we have a 10-point lead, right? So I'm looking at this, right? And keep in mind, the Chargers just applied pressure. Allen throws the pick. Well, guess what? The Bills return the favor again. Trey White picks off Justin Herbert right away to give Buffalo the ball back.
Yeah.
And on the first play on offense, Zach Moss takes off for a big first down run. Then Singletary takes off for a big first down run. And here we go. After a handful of back and forths, the Bills are finally trying to get downfield with under 4 minutes to play, with the exact same score that they did, you know, several turnovers or whatever prior. And Allen takes off on a big 3rd-and-9 run for a first down. They get a holding call that turns it into that first down to a 3rd-and-19. So those penalties did kind of continue to sort of nip them along the way. And that's something that wasn't a lot of fun, but you know, they weren't able to convert in that case, but Tyler Bass did hit a field goal with 3:26 left to put Buffalo up 10-27-17. And that's kind of the sequence there that got us from 24-14 to 27-17 in the fourth quarter. It was a bit of a roller coaster.
It was. And you know, that Tyler Bass field goal really sealed the deal, because there's still a lot of time on the clock. And the Chargers, while they didn't have a whole lot of, didn't have timeouts, they still had, you know, if Bass doesn't hit that or they're not in field goal range, there's still a chance for a tie to go to overtime, and maybe even something, maybe even a, you know, a touchdown and a 2-point conversion and sealing the game away. That's how close it was. And yeah, the whole flip floppy turnover thing, unbelievable. It doesn't happen often. It was lazy. It was bad on definitely both teams' parts. But I look at Josh Allen's interception, which was like not like it definitely wasn't his best throw. Herbert's was like it was like right to Trey White. I don't know if it got tipped at the line or what, but it was like he was dropping dimes to Trey White. It didn't look like there's anybody really remotely in that area. So and they paid for it. And you know, good teams in the NFL, you have to take advantage of that stuff. Of those turnovers, obviously the Bills were the ones who did with the field goal. It wasn't a touchdown, an extra point like they probably had hoped, but it was enough to seal the deal. The Chargers, that's just how they play football. They weren't able to take advantage. I mean, literally two times it was given to you in very good spots. It was in a relatively good spots. You know, Buffalo 34, which is almost at the, it's not the best, but, or no, excuse me. The Buffalo 34 is exactly where you want it to be. Flip flop. That's a pretty good spot, and they couldn't really take over it. That's how the Chargers play football, and that's why they have a 3-8 record right now in week 12.
Yeah, that last little sequence, even at the end of the game, even in the last few minutes of the game, was just par for the course with the way this fourth quarter went. I mean, that ensuing drive after the Tyler Bass field goal, Herbert got stuffed by our defense on 3rd and 7, which was great, by the way. And then on a very long fourth down after the loss on the play, the Chargers get called for a pretty blatant offensive pass interference push on the deep ball. What's crazy, though, is it puts it at 4th and 27 with a minute left, but they still have one play left on the drive and they go for it. And bringing back not nearly as refined, athletic, or amazing, but still nonetheless a miracle play. They make a ridiculous miracle bomb pass. Herbert does, connects with his receiver in the red zone on what was basically another Hail Mary jump ball. And then on 3rd down, and 6 seconds to go, the Bills get another roughing the passer call on Quentin Jefferson to give LA a fresh set of downs. So even though we're up by 10, even though, you know, the game's pretty much out of reach, anything's possible. And this is just kind of a lot to happen right at the end of the game. But, you know, Herbert would overthrow his receiver in the corner of the end zone in the next play. And then they decide to go for the touchdown on 2nd and goal with 3 seconds left. Herbert tried to take himself up the middle for a 2-yard loss, and that's the game. So, yeah, even after kind of the back and forth stopped, you know, the Chargers got the ball back, and I think that was a valuable lesson. And you and I have talked about this a couple times, the importance of putting the game out of reach, where, you know, in the event that the team does come back and does get back in the game, does put points up on the board, narrow the lead and make it, you know, reachable. This is a good example of that. I mean, we got all the way down to the, you know, the end of the game where the Chargers were still trying to come back in it. We saw the Raiders beat the Chiefs that way. They just scored enough points that made it, you know, just time frame wise, didn't give Patrick Mahomes enough time to do what Patrick Mahomes does, where he comes back late at the end of those games,
yeah,
and comes all the way back and wins them. So.
No, yeah, most certainly so. This was, yeah, I'm satisfied. I'm just happy at the overall result of this game, and I know that's just kind of putting things nicely and simply. You know, the fourth quarter was sloppy. It was what it was. That was just kind of the chemistry. That was kind of the atmosphere at that point. But, you know, this is a team that is trending up. Yeah, record aside, you know, knowing what the Chargers are, this is the kind of win you can really, really continue to build stuff off of. You can look at it and see a difference between this team here in this week and then this team a couple weeks ago, and just how their game flow is going, right? We talked about game flow and analytics and stuff last week too. That was another thing. And it they like flipped the script. The Bills felt it. Everything felt differently this week in a much better way, as far as the flow and play calling. I felt was pretty balanced across all the quarters. Not just being like, hey, they went really hard in the fourth quarter. No, they didn't leave it up to chance. I think they, you know, that punch in the mouth with the Hail Mary was very enlightening for them. And, I think from an analytic game flow play, everything went really well. And I think the Bills, this is something the Bills need to continue doing going forward. You know, I'm not going to say it's an easy slate of games, but it's a pretty fair slate of games up ahead. And the Bills going to have to, keep doing it. Don't change what works. This Chargers team is not bad. They're not bad at all. And I think the Bills beat a very good, I'm gonna say underappreciated team today in the Chargers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like we talked about earlier, their offense has been about the same as teams that are winning games around the league, right? Their defense is the one costing them games. So for the defense of the Bills to show up and hold them to 17 points is a good sign. That's something that I like seeing coming out of the game. Allen played decent under pressure, right? I mean, 2 for 10 sacks. He was under pressure from Bosa a lot of the time. So all things considered, not his biggest game, but a good team win. He had 157 yards passing. Gabe Davis had a good day. 79 receiving yards on 3 receptions on 4 targets. So it's good to see that he made the most of those throws. Singletary, 82 yards on 11 carries, and Moss added 59. Allen chipped in 32 on the ground for good measure. So here's what I liked, Matt. Based on our conversation last week, I liked that the run game looked good. I like that the defense got it done in the second half. They also saved our butts a couple times, if not a few times, there with that whole stretch that we talked about. And, Allen ran a bit more in the second half.
He did, yeah.
Beasley threw a touchdown pass. Dawson Knox showed better hands on that touchdown pass to start the game. So several of the things we talked about. That's the thing that was really neat. I mean, we talked about Knox and his hands. We talked about them running more plays with some of the guys that used to play quarterback. We talked about where the defense needed to improve, where the run game needed to improve, and that they need to improve in the third quarter. And look, for as wonky as that fourth quarter was, they did all those things today. And so those are things that, it did get a little messy there late in the second half. And on offense, and we're going to need to be better, especially with teams coming up like Pittsburgh, New England, and Miami. They're going to have good defenses. So the penalties and turnovers reared their ugly head a bit again in the second half. That bad snap wasn't Allen's fault, but the interception was absolutely his responsibility. I mean, that was kind of a lofty pass up in the air there. But I'm sure he knew that right after he let go of the ball. But,
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. But those are just some thoughts in closing, just wrapping up here, looking back over it. If you can look through that weird roller coaster that was the fourth quarter, that's all the good stuff that I see there.
Yes, no, most certainly so. And next, a lot to be proud of in this game. I can't say it enough. Next week, Buffalo has, who do they have? Is it New England?
Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, no, it's San Fran. It's San Fran, which is very much up in the air.
Oh, you're right. We're still with that. I think that's why I was confused, because we're waiting to find out if that game's taking place, when that game's taking place. It sounds like there are some issues that have come up in the area with COVID and stuff like that, because they're going to be playing in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, you're absolutely right. And I was so focused on this game, I honestly wasn't even thinking about who was next on the schedule.
I forgot about that. I've heard some things, some possible opportunities. I know Arizona was actually really nice and extended to let the 49ers use their stadium for the remainder of the season until everything gets figured out. Because, no more games are going to be played in San Francisco, at least for the remainder of the 2020 season. That's officially off the table as far as county officials and stuff go. Well, they say a couple weeks, but I know how it goes. A couple weeks turns into a couple months, and that's just how government works. So yeah, that's, it's very much up in the air. We don't know where and when could be very much affected too, but the plan is right now, Monday Night Football against a team, a 49ers team who just beat, they just went out with a backup quarterback with some returning stars, but a very injury marred team in 2020. They went out and beat the Rams. They beat the Rams. I think it's pretty close, I think 23-20. So can't count them out, but it's something to look forward to. We'll be back obviously talking about that game next week. So make sure you pay attention to Bills Wire and all of our writers and contributions, all our social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and go keep up to date as we head into the final NFC West matchup, right?
Final
NFC West matchup. So we will see how that goes. But listeners, thank you so much, David. Thank you so much as always for being a true pal and being a good co-host. I don't know what I would do without you, quite honestly.
Thanks, man.
Of course, dude. Of course. And yeah, to the listeners, go Bills, and David says his thing.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. And hey, no one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.